Therefore I, the prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk worthy of the calling you have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, accepting one another in love, diligently keeping the unity of the Spirit with the peace that binds us. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope at your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Now grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of the Messiah's gift. For it says, when he ascended on high, he took prisoners into captivity. He gave gifts to people. But what does he ascended mean, except that he descended to the lower parts of the earth? The one who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he personally gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the training of the saints in the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into a mature man with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. Then we will no longer be little children, tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning with cleverness in the techniques of deceit. But speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into him who is the head, Christ. From him, the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building up itself in love by the proper working of each individual part. Therefore, I say this and testify in the Lord, you should no longer walk as the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their thoughts. They are darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them and because of the hardness of their hearts. They became callous and gave themselves over to promiscuity for the practice of every kind of impurity with a desire for more and more. But that is not how you learned about the Messiah, assuming you heard about him and were taught by him, because the truth is in Jesus. You took off your former way of life, the old self that is corrupted by deceitful desires. You are being renewed in the spirit of your minds. Put on the new self, the one created according to God's likeness in righteousness and the purity of the truth. Since you put away lying, speak the truth, each one to his neighbor, because we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, and don't give the devil an opportunity. The thief must no longer steal. Instead, he must do honest work with his own hands, so that he has something to share with anyone in need. No foul language is to come from your mouth, but only what is good for building up someone in need, so that it gives grace to those who hear. And don't grieve God's Holy Spirit. You were sealed by him for the day of redemption. All bitterness, anger, and wrath, shouting and slander must be removed from you, along with all malice. And be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ.
Well, good evening, everyone. Great to see you here tonight. My name is Adrian. Welcome to church. And welcome to our ongoing series, Living with Purpose. And because tonight's topic is maturity, I thought I'd start with a joke. Why can't you hear a pterodactyl go to the bathroom? Because the P is silent. So tonight's talk is on maturity, and I thought that'd be a good place to start. But actually, maybe even better than that, we should pray and ask God to help us. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you, God, that you have gathered us here tonight and that you speak powerfully in your word, the Bible. Father, we pray that you would help us to listen and cause us to obey. Father, transform us into the likeness of Jesus. This we ask in his name. Amen. Well, just before we start, I just want to acknowledge that I've changed the talk from the outline that's inside the news sheet. I have 3 points that I really want to talk about tonight, and that is, the first is the goal of Christian maturity. The second is the method of Christian maturity. And the third is the means of Christian maturity. The goal, the method, the means of Christian maturity. 3 points. Sorry for changing things up. All living things grow. It's part of the definition of what makes something alive. To be alive is to be growing. Everything that is alive grows. And so you see that in plants, don't you? Start off as little seeds, But they grow. They grow into flowers. They grow into massive trees. You see it in animals that start off as joeys or calves or lambs or puppies or piglets, and then they grow, and they grow into something full. And then you see it in humans. We all begin as babies, and then we grow. And what's true in the world is also true of Christians. And it's true of church. To be alive is to be growing, to be developing, to be maturing and moving forward. And so as Christians, we've been made alive, which means we are always growing. And our church family, our church community is to be about growing together, maturing and developing together, because we are about life. We're about eternal life. You know, Jesus said in John 10, he said, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full, have it in abundance." Jesus gives us fullness of life. Jesus gives us what life is meant to be. He's not stingy. God is not a restrictive, reducing kind of God who says, no, this is kind of, you have to have this minimalist life. No, actually, Jesus is so committed to freeing us so we can live how we're meant to live, so committed to freeing us so we can love how God designed us to love, that he came and he gave his life so that we can live and so that we can grow into what God has planned us to be. Because you see, the great thing about being a Christian is we're not just saved from something. We're saved for something. We're not just saved from sin. We're saved from guilt and from hell. We're definitely saved from something terrible, but we're also saved for something glorious. God has a purpose in saving us. God has a future for us. And as Christians, we know that God is at work in us now to bring about this glorious purpose, which is that we will be like Christ. The goal of Christian maturity is that we be like Christ. Now just let that sink in for a moment. Just think about how God treats unworthy sinners and rebels like us. He not only forgives us and he wipes away our guilt and our shame, he not only reconciles us to himself, he then works in us to transform us and conform us to the image and likeness of his Son, the perfect Lord Jesus Christ. That's God's plan and purpose from the very beginning of time, that we would have that joy and privilege of being like Christ. Romans 8:29 says, God predestined his people to be conformed to the image and likeness of his Son. That's God's purpose for us, that we become more and more like Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18 says, as we read the Bible, then we with uncovered, unveiled faces, the barrier between us and God is removed by Jesus. So as we read the Bible, we are looking in a mirror at the glory of the Lord, and we are being transformed into that same image from glory to glory. That as we read the Bible, as we read God's word, we see the image and the glory of God revealed in Jesus. And as we read and look at that image, we are transformed into that same image from glory to glory. We become like Jesus. Now, Jesus Christ is spectacular. He is perfect. He is glorious. He is holy. He's loving and kind and obedient. He loves righteousness and hates wickedness. And God's purpose is to make us like him, in whom God delights. And that is our joy. God has a glorious plan for us to live and to grow into Christian maturity, into fullness, into completeness, which means God has a plan to grow us into the likeness of his perfect Son, Jesus. The next chapter of Ephesians, chapter 5, starts this way. Chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, be imitators of God as dearly loved children and walk in love. We are called there to be like God, imitate God, copy God, because he's our Father, we're adopted. It goes on, as walk in love, as the Messiah loved us and gave himself for us as a sacrifice and a fragrant offering to God. be imitators of God, be like God, walk in love, be like Jesus in the way that you give yourself and love others. You thought being a Christian was about believing in Jesus and coming to church every now and then, but here we're called to be like God. In the Old Testament, Leviticus 20, verse 26, God says to his people, "You are to be holy, because I, Yahweh, am holy." Matthew 5, verse 48, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." That is a profound call from God. But here's what happens. What we could never do on our own, we could never be holy. We could never be perfect. What we could never do on our own, Jesus has done for us. And now, Jesus does in us to make us perfect, to make us holy, to make us like him who is the image of God himself. So to live with purpose is to live with the knowledge and the understanding and the assurance that God is growing his people, maturing his people, refining his people to be like Christ. God is changing us. And that's what Ephesians 4 is telling us. Verse 13, the work of ministry, the work of building up the body, the work of encouraging Christians in Christ has this purpose. This is what it's all aimed at. Verse 13, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into a mature person with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. That's God's purpose for us, that we grow into this mature man. And how do you measure maturity? What does completeness and fullness look like? It's measured by the fullness of Christ. That's quite a measure. When Christ is the fullness of God, that is what God is growing in us. That is your purpose, to become more and more and more like Christ. That's what we ought to be striving towards. Which means when you are thinking about who to go out with, is that going to help me become more like Christ? Who am I going to marry? What movies am I going to watch? What TV shows? What websites will I go to? How much time do you spend on Snapchat and Instagram and your studies and your job and your drinking habits? Is it making you more like Christ? Because that's your purpose. That is what God is working towards in the entire history of the universe. He is working towards you being like Christ. Is your life working in that direction as well? The goal of Christian life and the goal of Christian maturity is that we become like Jesus. In our relationship with God like Jesus, in our purpose in the world like Jesus, in our relationship with each other like Jesus, in our character, in our heart and our mind. And so if that is God's glorious purpose for our lives, if that is God's goal, if that is our hope, if that is our future, then it makes sense that we need to walk the path Jesus walked and imitate him in his faith. And in his love, he denied himself and he served others, said no to temptation. He said yes to God's good word. Because that is the method of Christian maturity. We've seen the goal of Christian maturity. This is the method of Christian maturity. Maturing and growing, becoming like Christ, is always done by feeding on God's word, the Bible. See, just as what you feed your body has an impact on growing your physical health and strength, in the same way, what you feed your soul shapes the way you grow spiritually. What are you feeding your soul? What are you feeding your heart? What are you pouring into yourself? Because you reach spiritual maturity as you keep growing in your knowledge of God, and you grow in your knowledge of God as you listen to God speak in his word, the Bible. See, verse 13 says our unity is in the faith, in the truth that God reveals in the Bible. Our maturity is in the knowledge of God's Son. And what that means is verse 14 contrasts Christian maturity and full-grown kind of completeness as a Christian, that's contrasted with being a little child who, verse 14, is tossed by waves, blown around by every wind of false teaching, human cunning, and people who spread lies about God. See, immature Christians can't tell the difference between good Bible teaching and deceitful false teaching. It's just like there's this big thing about fake news. There's all sorts of stuff that looks like it presents itself like news, but actually it's just made up. It's fake. It's lies. For centuries, for thousands of years, there has been fake gospels. Immature, childish Christians are easily influenced and taken in by clever human ways of manipulating the truth, manipulating God's word. If you can go to Hillsong, Dayspring and C3, Roman Catholic Church and a Uniting Church, if you can go there and you can't tell the difference between them and us, let me suggest you need to work on your Christian maturity, you need to work on your wisdom and discernment and your knowledge of Jesus and his word. But notice verse 15 says that we will grow and we will mature. We will become like Christ. We'll stand firm, not just by hearing God's truth in faith. But verse 15 says, speaking God's truth in love, let us grow in every way into him who is the head, Christ. Part of Christian maturity is not just knowing Jesus, but being willing and able to share that knowledge. Again, it's like this in nature. As living things grow, the sign of them reaching maturity and adulthood is that they bear fruit and can reproduce themselves. So an apple seed planted becomes an apple tree, but it is mature and it is complete as an apple tree when it can produce more apples, which then produces more trees, which produce more apples. They're the same with animals. Animals reach maturity and adulthood when they can produce more of their kind. So it is with us as Christians. Part of maturity and completeness that we aspire to is that we bear fruit. That the word that is planted in us bears fruit in our lives, bears fruit from our lips as we share that word. As we share that salvation and that love and that joy and peace that we have. And as we are able to help grow more Christians who help grow more Christians. This is what maturity, Christian maturity, looks like. That's why Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 urges all Christians, let the word of Christ richly dwell among you as you teach and admonish one another in all wisdom and singing psalms, hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. A sign of Christian maturity then is what do you talk about after church? When we gather together, do we speak the truth in love? Do we let the word of Christ dwell richly among us? Or do we talk about stupid, silly things of the world all the time? I'm happy for us to have fun and laugh and share good times together. But if that's all we do, it's a sign of immaturity. Because as we feed on God's word, as we grow in maturity in our Christian thinking, then this will equip us to grow in maturity in our Christian living. As Titus chapter 1 verse 1 puts it, knowledge of the truth leads to godliness. That's why we work really hard here at church, in gospel teams, at youth group, in kids ministry, up front, everywhere. We work really hard to teach the Bible and help you to know the truth. Because knowledge of the truth leads to godliness. You see this idea in verses 17 to 24 of Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 had started in verse 1, had urged us to walk worthy of the calling that we'd received. Verse 17 then tells us to no longer walk as the Gentiles, the nations walk. No longer meaning that's the way you used to live. And notice that the Gentiles, the nations, those who don't know Christ, they walk in futility of their thoughts. It's their lack of knowledge of God. It's their refusal to glorify God, thank God, or even acknowledge him that leads to their life and their walk being filled with corruption and sin. Verse 18, they're darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them, because of the hardness of their hearts. So verse 19, they give themselves over to promiscuity, impurity, and a desire for more and more because that stuff never satisfies their spiritual hunger. Our former way of life and the way the world lives is willfully ignoring God, being hard-hearted towards God, darkened in their thoughts and so excluded from life, and from that flows a life of impurity and a life of futility. But you see, this is the power of God. This is God's gift to us in Jesus. That's the way we used to walk. But he's transformed us by the power of the gospel, by the truth of Jesus. We've looked at it the last few weeks in Ephesians. We were dead in our sins, but God has made us alive in Christ. We were cut off and excluded, but God has brought us near and included us in Christ. We were undeserving sinners, but God has forgiven and redeemed and adopted us as his children in Christ. That truth transforms us. And so for us to grow in maturity and grow in godliness and grow in Christ-likeness means, verse 22 there, you take off your former way of life, the old self that is corrupted by deceitful desires, and you are being renewed in the spirit of your minds. That's where renewal begins for us as Christians. That's where maturity and growing and Christ-likeness begins. It begins in our knowledge, our understanding of God. And so now that we have the truth of Jesus Christ, now that we have the good news of Jesus, the Word of God in our minds, then we're renewed and transformed and changed, and we grow and we mature. We put off the old self, old desires. We keep realizing that that stuff's in our past, but our future is glorious. So we put off the old self, verse 24, and you put on the new self, the one created according to God's likeness in righteousness and purity of truth. That is our new self. That is our new identity, our new reality. That is who you are, created and saved in Jesus in the likeness of God, not in omnipotence and omniscience, in likeness in God, in righteousness and purity and truth. We have been saved for nothing less than to become like Jesus, who is the image of God. You want to know who you are meant to be? You want to know what you are meant to be like, what you are for, how you are meant to live, what your purpose is meant to be? Look to Christ. There is your identity and your future and your hope and your reality. There is your everything. The goal of Christian maturity is to become like Christ. The method of Christian maturity is to hear and speak God's word. And the means of Christian maturity is Christian fellowship. So Ephesians 4 reminds us that as Christians, we have received a calling from God. God has gathered us to himself and so has gathered us to Christian unity. He called us. It's not that we chose God. We sat down, we interviewed him, we asked him a few key questions about his five-year plan for the universe, weighed him up against the other candidates, and then offered him the role as creator and king. No, God chose us. And he called us by name, and he invited us personally into his kingdom, into his family. We have a calling, and we are urged there in verse 1 to walk worthy of the calling you have received from God. It all starts with God, and his desire in calling us and saving us is that we grow together. Verse 2, with all humility, with gentleness, with patience, accepting one another in love, diligently keeping the unity of the Spirit with the peace that binds us. There's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope at your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. God gathers us together and unites us together so that we can grow in maturity and Christ-likeness. And notice in verse 11 there that God's grace to his people, his church, God's gift to us is people. Verse 11, he gave some to be apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastor teachers. God gives to his people, people. What God gives us to help us to grow and help us mature and to refine us and develop us is each other. You see that the apostles, who were the apostles? They taught the gospel and brought God's word. Who were the prophets? They declared God's word. The evangelists, they declared the good news. Pastor teachers, they declared God's word. These are all people who bring God's word. Why? He's given these people, verse 12, for the training of the saints in the work of ministry to build up the body of Christ. The saints is a way of describing the ordinary Christians gathered there in the city of Ephesus. These leaders equip the Christians to do the work of ministry. In the gospel, God gathers people to himself, and so God gathers people to each other, and the gospel equips God's people to serve and grow and mature each other. All of us are called to ministry. Every Christian here is involved in the ministry of growing and maturing other Christians. We're all part of building the body. We're all part of growing to be more and more like Christ because we all have the same Lord, so we all have the same purpose to reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, to be this mature man measured by the fullness of Christ. And so it's together, unified in the gospel, that we grow in maturity as Christians. Maturity is something you cannot achieve on your own. People who say, well, I'm a Christian, but I like to do it my own way. I'm a Christian, but I just don't do church. You haven't got Christianity. You can't do it on your own. Just like a baby, just like a child, can't grow physically or emotionally or spiritually or relationally. They can't grow and mature and develop healthily on their own. They're dependent and they need family and they need community. Same with us as Christians. To grow and to reach Christian maturity. And that's God's purpose. That's God's calling for us. Then you need each other. So if your desire is to grow as a Christian, to grow in your knowledge of God, to grow in maturity and grow in godliness, to grow in wisdom and love, to be like Christ, we need to keep meeting together. We need to keep learning together and being the church together and speaking the truth in love together, being the body of Christ and unified in Jesus. And you see this really clearly in verse 16. From Jesus, who is the head, the whole body, that's all of us gathered together, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building itself up in love by the proper working of each individual part. It's so tempting when you come to church to think, I'll let the ministers do the ministry and I'll enjoy it or I won't enjoy it or I'll get my bit or I won't get anything out of it and then I leave and I'll go get on with my life. When we gather together, we gather each as servants of God, as ministers of the gospel, each of us united as the body of Christ, each part doing our work to become more and more like Christ. Because we will grow to maturity as Christians and as a church when we are unified in Christ and in the gospel, and as each part of us does our work of loving and serving and giving. Because as we all pour ourselves into helping each other to grow and mature, helping each other to know God and experience God's love and experience and taste God's blessing, as we all strive and live and work towards that, then we're not only walking in a manner that's worthy of the calling that we've received, but we are being just like Jesus, who gave his everything for us, that we would know God and experience his love and be united with God and grow in maturity. God's eternal purpose for us. He's been planning this from eternity into eternity, is that we become like Jesus. God's plan that has come about in the death and resurrection of Jesus is that we become like him. That is our purpose. And so we give ourselves to it together. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you have a glorious plan for our lives. You have a spectacular purpose that we would be like Jesus. And Father, thank you for the confidence that we have that in your word and in our fellowship together and by your Holy Spirit, that you continue to change us and grow us and mature us. You transform us and you conform us to the likeness of Jesus. Father, we pray that you would help us to put off our old self and put on our new self, which is created in your likeness. Father, please continue to do your work in us, that you will be glorified, that we would be like Jesus, and that people will know you. And we pray it in his name. Amen.